This is The Stark Truth, hosted by Robert Stark. Brought to you by www.starktruthradio.com. Robert Stark is an American journalist and political commentator. You can read his articles and find out more on robertstark.substack.com.
Hey, Robert Stark here, and I don't know how many of you have been following my podcast a long time, but I'm here with a really special guest. I'm joined here with Alex von Goldstein, and in case you've been following my old podcast from way back in like 2015, he used to be my co-host. Alex, great speaking with you. It's been a really long time.
Yeah, it's awesome. I did a show with Francis, aka Pill Eater, and Adventure Kid, Cartel Payne, in 2022, and that was on Francis's like Substack and YouTube and stuff, and it's still on YouTube. You can check that out. I call it Dinosaur Weird because I think about it a lot. That show we did, the last one, 2022, we were talking about like the idea that if people actually lived
a dream world.
Dream world, we were, yeah, if dream world, like, I mean, the reality of it and stuff like that, and like how to manage the reality of it, but also like digging into it, like beyond like metaphors that are like cinema, like Total Recall or The Matrix or like Inception. I mean, like the concept of dream world could even like come from Inception. Like moving deeper into the idea that like we as beings are from a kind of reality that contains, it's kind of like Neoplatonism with many layers of what life could be. And
oh, so sort of like, that sounds like my article on Cosmoplatonism. If you
exactly read, yeah,
you have this like divine emanation and then different layers further down of various levels of emanation, and it could be with different various levels of consciousness. Or the different, like the different avatars and different structures of the metaphysical structure of the divine.
Yeah, definitely. And the conception exactly of God and like God as incarnation, and that human, like God is actually human. So he was like, well, I guess Jesus is half human, half divine. And God is made, or man is made in the image of God. But we can't actually perceive God, and we, like, that we as humans practice this thing called logic, that Christ is even logos, and that we practice this kind of discourse or understanding, like, I guess that would be in the thing called church. And you can see that there's, like, many denominations of Christianity, like Russian Orthodoxy, Greek Orthodoxy. There's the Protestant Church, and the Protestant Church is Episcopalian Church. It's the Dutch Reformed Calvinist Church. It's the Lutheran Church. So they all fall under this thing called Christianity, but they're all actually different kind of like groups of humans. And then all of these different groups of humans actually go to war with each other. Do you think
conflict, like whether it's political, tribal, or racial, is based upon different people having different levels of consciousness, experience of the world differently, and that creates like this fundamental conflict because it's a conflict over consciousness?
Exactly, and that's the whole issue again of dream world and the idea that human beings could have actually lived in vastly different versions of this reality. That the Bible itself could be a key to unlocking this deeper mystery. If we look at the Bible in different ways, there's the idea that Noah's Ark, it could be a metaphor for a ship. Noah's Ark could actually be like a hyper object. The idea that Noah was able to have two of every animal, it's almost like, what if he had like tiny clones of every kind of animal? Like he had like clones of every sheep, of the male and female versions of them, and this like hyper complex reality that like is in the Bible, like some people think it's stupid. So that's like one side of things, like the Bolshevik Revolution. They killed Tsar Nicholas. What was it? Is Tsar Nicholas the second? Mm-hmm. Or was he Tsar Nicholas the first? I forget his. Whatever. I mean, the tragedy of Tsar Nicholas and the Bolshevik Revolution, when people are ripped out of church and they're basically shot in the head for believing in God. It's kind of like the whole issue of like, what is the reality of the Bible? Is it even real? Like Abraham, how is his name not Atman Brahman? How is Abraham not from potentially some kind of Vedic reality?
Oh, so sort of like what I talk about in my Cosmoplatonism article, it's like theosophy, but where theosophy could still be hierarchical, where it's theosophy is the idea that there's many paths to divine. All religions have some divine truth, but it's still hierarchical. Different religions could have various degrees of divine emanations, so they're not all equal.
Right. I mean, in Calvinism, there's the conception that some people are elect and some people are reprobate. So Calvinism works off the precept called the TULIP, and that's an acronym. So like the TULIP is like T is total depravity, which means that people are born after the fall and they live in total depravity. Like everything is like disgusting and bad. So it's like the notion of war and like, why does war happen? It's basically people are totally depraved. They're like hungry to like grab a sword and like look awesome and to feel like they're Adonis slaughtering like the bad guy, and like that kind of like struggle between like races of humans, because like even religion can even turn into race. It's almost like there's denominations, and it doesn't even have to be Christianity, but Christianity can almost be like the nexus point of faiths, when you get that it could almost be like Krishnaanity, because you got to break down the root words. When Abraham is Atman Brahman, how is Jesus Christ not Yeshiva Krishna? Like Jesus and Shiva, the relation of Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu to Yahovah and Jesus, and who's Christ? So Yahovah, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Like the Holy Spirit is Brahma. So the issue then is like the people that are,
or like in Neoplatonism, you could say the divine consciousness.
The divine consciousness, then that's the, is that, here's the issue, right? Is that the Brahmin caste then? So it's like that people who wear like Ralph Lauren and like Lacoste, like think and like go to country clubs, like they think they're actually Jesus Christ. Like they're actually white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. And like the conception of like white as like election, that people like desire to be white, that like whiteness is like
Christian Lander, stuff white people like.
Well, yeah, but even like other races that they like that like desire to be cool like white people and like really like dress like white people. I mean, I guess it's universal. Like Ralph Lauren is universal, but it's kind of funny. Because his name is actually Ralph Lipschitz. And I actually wear polo all the time, but like he changed his name to Ralph Lauren, I think, to represent the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant tradition. So it's like, if there's this dude, Ralph Lauren, who was a Jew and he like is promoting this like white cowboy thing, it's sort of like that's almost what seems like election for people. And it's kind of like, did you make white or not? And that's sort of like part of like what that struggle between the caste systems are, is that people, I think, like this idea of what white is, and they want to be cool like white people, and they want to make boss. And then other people, they don't like the kind of hierarchical nature or the snotty nature, the snobbish nature of the Brahmin caste.
But so there could be a kind of spiritual component to like HBD. How some people's like genes select for them to be more spiritual or more attached to a certain religious archetype.
Right, right. I mean, that's the weird part of it. It's like, if you look at a map of Europe and you see that the weirdest thing I'd ever tell you is that like Europe is almost like a joke, that the names of European countries aren't really the names of European countries, but they all are actually Jewish countries from the 12 tribes of Israel. that Germany is called Ashkenaz, and that Spain is called Sephar, that Ireland is Danu or Danann, it's Daniel or David even. The Harp of David is a sim. It's if you look at a Guinness beer, it's the Harp of David.
So, Denmark's the tribe of Dan.
Yeah, Tuath Ireland is often called Tuath de Danann, and you could think of Tuath de Danann as the people of Daniel. So the people from Ireland, they are a Jewish tribe. And the other side of Irish people, I mean, and you can look at like the art from the Book of Kells, and you can get how the Book of Kells looks like Russian Orthodox art. And even though Christianity is distinctly different than Judaism, that it accepts Christ as Messiah, it still is rooted in Judaism because that's what Jesus Christ talks about. Jesus Christ is like, before Abraham was, I am. And Jesus Christ as the eternal logos, as the human representation of God who's sacrificed on a cross, that's what the tartan is. So every Irish family has its tartan. It has, which is like the plaid. Like I have, like right here is a Smith tartan. So I have a Smith tartan right here, and it has red and blue and yellow stripes and crosses. And this is kind of like a first cause primacy of consciousness affirmation for the Smith family to let them know that they're actually from Jesus Christ and he created them. So it's like, that's a part of the Irish tradition. That's part of knowing that France is actually called Sephiroth. So if you think about France as being Sephiroth in the mood of France people, Frank is the joke that French people are frank about things. They're honest. That Irish people, they're actually angry. They're full of ire. And why are they angry? They're trying to keep you in the safe. They're trying to remind you of Jesus Christ. So that's the issue. It's like that Swedish is a personality type. And that's the HBD component that we're talking about, is that different races of people are actually different aspects of Jesus Christ's personality.
Technically speaking.
Or different archetypes, like aspects of the divine. So I talk about an article that avatars, one avatar is like of extreme compassion, the warrior avatar, the artist avatar. They may seem like you can separate them, but all combined, they all represent different components of the divine.
Yes, definitely. And the divine has many aspects to it, like how the country of Hungary is Hagar. And who Hagar is as a wife of Abraham, it's kind of interesting because she's not exactly like Sarah. Hagar, who's the bearer of Isaac. And this is even Judaism. So it's like the people in Hungary, they practice Orthodox Christianity, but they actually are descendants of Judaism. So that's how you can see how the 12 tribes of Israel come from Judaism. And then Jesus Christ is the incarnation of God who teaches us how to live in the truth.
How would you describe the nature of Christ as the Son of God, or more as like a mortal who became a mystic and was able to merge his consciousness with the divine?
Well, what I would say is that Jesus Christ was actually born as the Son of God, and that he had full awareness of his entire life when he was born. And what his life was, I mean, how I could tell you that Jesus Christ knew that he was going to die at 33, and he knew his whole, much like Alexander the Great died at 33. Jesus Christ knew his entire existence, and part of that is that he as an incarnate flesh is actually a hypostatic being. So he was actually a different kind of entity. He wasn't really like a human. He was actually hypostasis. So what he was as like a quote unquote emanation or incarnation of God, he lived a human life, but he had two wills. One will was human, and one will was actually divine. And when he was human, he was actually aware of things like men. I mean, he was always human and divine, but when he was younger, he was more tilted to being human. He was a child, and he would do things like talk to lawmakers and medicine makers, scientists, doctors, and he would know about medicine. But when he was older, it was almost like he had more of the demeanor of a drunkard who was things like violent and would say things like, sell your cloak and buy a sword, and I have come not to make peace but wage war, or that there will be a place with the weeping of children and the gnashing of teeth. So he would say these kind of very dark things to kind of emanate, even in the way God the Father is even being like Zeus. So it's almost like that the Christ, that it's interesting to kind of think about the Greek gods and Christ, in that there's writing in the Bible of the other hosts, heavenly hosts. So if the other heavenly hosts are indeed Aphrodite and Hermes and Apollo, there's many figures in the Bible, or I mean, there's the references of Apollonius. If you read the Bible, you can get the sense that there's an awareness of kind of a reality of other gods, that Satan could even be the god from the Aryans, that he could be the kind of like Persian god in a way.
To go off on a side tangent, but so this is my very first time ever visiting the East Coast, and I'm with Francis at his house in Philly. And earlier today, I got to see the Prometheus statue at Rockefeller Center.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, like the conception of Christ and Prometheus, like Prometheus, he was Adonis, like Christ, and Prometheus is also crucified. So it's and then he had a liver. He had a I think a crow peck at his liver.
Oh yeah,
crucified. So it's interesting to see. I mean, and also Prometheus is referred to as being Apollo, referred to as being Lucifer. Did you get to see the Statue of Liberty at all?
I saw it in the distance. I saw it from the top of the Rockefeller Center in the distance, and I also saw it from, I think we went over the bridge that connects Staten Island to Brooklyn.
Maranzano.
Oh, okay. I mean, it's like, I'm from New Jersey, Rutherford, so for me it's kind of like, if I'm over in like Jersey City, Bayonne area, like it's really easy to see the Statue of Liberty from over there. And the Statue of Liberty, that's actually kind of like a female incarnation of Mithra in ways.
Oh, right.
That was, and like with the crown that she wears, that's a Mithraic crown. And, you know, if you think about like the American Revolution, like that being that the Statue of Liberty is, like you can imagine if she was like a woman who was like incarnate, she would wear like a Phrygian cap. So it's like that aspect of like Mithraic or Promethean Aryan people who wear worship and love freedom and truth, and wear the Phrygian hat and practice playing music, sing songs of freedom. It's like you can get how like that led to like, you know, Joan Baez and like Pete Seeger and Bob Dylan and stuff like that. So it's like, I think that, you know, people get mad about the Emma Lazarus poem, like bring me your sick and poor, because it's like, you know, the American people are kind of like sick and poor, and they get really upset about all like the immigration and everything. But that's just the issue. It's like people get really mad about experience. Like we're talking about before, it's like human beings are actually God archetypes. They're like angel incarnations.
So like lower emanations of the divine.
Exactly. So it's like they're like God incarnate, and you know, like the Father, I didn't think he like know what he is. So like he incarnates in people, and like life is this thing, Advaita Vedanta or the Kapoksa Ketarok. So it's like the like clay Adam, as Christ was the second Adam, we are the third Adam, and like as the third Adam, we're like, what the heck am I? What the heck is reality? And we're trying to like build our own conception of whatness and isness. And like when people meet like people from other cultures or like doesn't even ha- like I know like Francis and I will always talk about like martial industrial music and like neo-folk.
That's right.
I just got like a really cool. Like, I went to Sweden with my sister,
yeah,
and I got a really cool shirt from the band Of the Wand and the Moon.
Oh, that's cool. Of Wand and the Moon, yeah.
And like, there's a couple other groups like that, like you know, like Over.
I'm a big David E. Williams fan because he's from Philly.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I mean, if you think, but if you think about like that kind of music, like neo folk music, or even like Burzum, like black metal, like the face paint and stuff like that, and like they're burning churches. How much of that is like this idea of like, you know, that incarnation of God? That's like a clone that wants to be around like the other clones that are like it, or like stop all forms of universalism, stop all forms of caring about other kinds of people. Because I can't ask God.
Would you say like with the whole dichotomy between tribalism and universalism, what do you would you make of the metaphysical component? And should there be a dualism where you can simultaneously be a universalist and believe in love and all that stuff for like all of humanity or even all life forms? Or can you be like a tribalist for your like particular group, or can you be like a dualist and reconcile the two?
I think that dualism in Advaita Vedanta or Kapoksa Ketarak is kind of like the only way to assess reality, because as an Adamic incarnation, you have a divine will and a human will. So it's like God wants you to do things, man wants you to do things. And like that struggle between Adam and God, it's like who's the serpent and then who's Eve? So, I mean, at what point does life not know what it is? I mean, Ecclesiastes 3:11, I think says like he has made everything beautiful in his time. He has made everything, but he has set eternity in the human heart, but no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. So it's like God made all of reality already. Like the end of the world already happened. The beginning of the world already happened. That's why in Stark Truth, I was like, you got to get out. Like in 2016, I think we're at the Pepe the Frog episode. I was like, we got to get out of the thinking of Genesis to Revelation. And just make that be a line from the police song, the class song, Police and Thieves. And kind of like think that Abraham is this thing from Atman and Brahman, and that like it's kind of just Christ and the truth and doing what's right, because the issue of kind of like believing in that stuff too much is that God is like this justification for you to start a war. So, like, how many people in Lebanon are just like, yeah, I'm going to join Hezbollah and I'm going to shoot Mossad? It's like, that's what life is. Like, what's up with all these, like, movies? I mean, I watch these films. I'm a fan of the film The Accountant, the Gavin O'Connor film, Ben Affleck. I like that movie. I was trying to watch the sequel and I ended up turning it off because I just couldn't handle watching movies where it's like, you know, taking out like a Century C-93 and just like mowing down like, you know, guys from Saudi Arabia who are involved in some like scheme to clone people or something. Or like Gemini Man with Will Smith when he's fighting his clone and there's just like genetics experiments happening and people are killing each other. It's like, you don't want to make, you don't as like the thing dimethyltryptamine or Advaita Vedanta want to make angels that are against you. Mm-hmm. You don't want to actually create a world where like you're on a team and you're slaughtering the other team. Like I'm a Baltimore Orioles fan. If someone tells me that they're like into the Chicago White Sox, it's like that's like a chip in our friendship. But like it's not all of reality.
So when you talk about dream world, you're talking about different dimensions or metaphysical planes.
Yes.
Now, certain people have the abilities to transform their consciousness into these other metaphysical planes.
Yeah, I mean, like, time is the fourth dimension. And then the fifth dimension would basically be the quantum space. And if you think about the quantum space in the philosophy of John Archibald Wheeler, he talked about these concepts like getting this thing called it from bit, the one electron universe, and quantum foam. So it's sort of like some people can see Advaita Vedanta, like they have unconditional election and they can see it from bit. They can build these things called qubits. They can get the zeros and ones in existence. They can see the one electron universe. And like the people that can see the one electron universe and are in fifth dimensional rendering, as time is fourth dimensional rendering, they can like make dream world quantum foam in the fifth dimension, and they can actually reshape reality. So like that's what like opera is meant to be, or film is meant to be, or punk rock is meant to be. And I think, I don't know if that always succeeds, because you can kind of see like the Adonis recursion of singers and actors and performers as kind of like people who are really trying to leave their own skin and become characters in songs, or not be them in cinema, play a character.
Have you had an experience of like entering another metaphysical plane?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely had gone through out of body experience. I actually had a deep one the other night. I got really into Harmony Korine's Edgelord project.
You mean like the film
Edgelord?
Does he do Entering the Void?
No, that's Gaspar Noé. Harmony Korine's like Gummo, Julian Donkey.
Oh, right.
But he has these new movies. I like The Beach Bum that was released a couple years ago with Matthew McConaughey, but he made these new movies called Aggro Drift with Travis Scott. And he just made a movie called Baby Invasion that is like really, really insane, because it's kind of like an online like chat episode of like I don't even know if it's people, like demons like invading houses. And then you can actually see these things that look like Google AI, like when everything is like made of dogs, at like a deeper level of existence, that are like swirls that are like fractalized, that are kind of like Julia sets. Cause it's sort of like this with like calculus. If you zoom into a line long enough, it's actually fractalized. And the conception of zooming, like from like Benoit Mandelbrot, who Taleb said was a Roman among Greeks, is that if you really pushed yourself into fractalization of a line, that eventually it would be things like sound and colors. And that's what we are even made of. So, I definitely like went deep into like the fractalization of like reality from like thinking about all those Edgelord projects, especially Baby Invasion. And then I just kind of like realized from First Class Primacy Consciousness that like a carpet and like a house could like just appear kind of from dream, like a house could just appear from dream world, and it could have things like a carpet, TV, stove, like it just doesn't exist. Like you close your eyes and you open your eyes, there's a house there. You walk into the house, it like wasn't designed by an architect, it just exists. And you put the TV on, and then you can get how a TV could actually be like an eye.
Or it could be a portal.
Yeah. So like I out of body experience / control remote viewed, like after watching all this Harmony Korine stuff, like kind of like this other version of America. Like I was seeing all these like weird messages that America was a fake country that was invented in the 60s after like kind of like neo-Marxist revolution, maybe like May 1968, that kind of stuff. And like America was established like after this like kind of like meth dungeon, like hippie reality, like crushed earth. And like seeing that stuff from controlled remote, when it's almost like the house that just appeared with like a carpet, like the carpet that just appeared is kind of like the flesh of the house. Like the paint is like its skin color, like the paint of the walls. And like the TV is like its consciousness, where it's telling you who it is and talking to you about itself. And like, if you're really attuned to Advaita Vedanta, if you really know Jesus, like, you're seeing yourself in movies. He's going to challenge you.
Is lucid dreaming an aspect of entering dream world?
Well, it is, but lucid dreaming is really just dreaming. Like, you want to be able to control, like, it's kind of weird. It's like, you don't want to get to lucid dreaming where it's like, I imagined a girl. Now I control the girl. Like, you shouldn't want to just control a fake woman. You should actually want to have a relationship with a real girl. So, like,
oh, like manifesting, like the new thought movement.
Yeah, definitely. Like, so, like, don't try to, like, lucid dream, like, a fake porn girlfriend. Like, if you want to have a girlfriend, you could just think about having a girlfriend and eventually have a girlfriend. Wow, how did this happen? If you're so excited about how it happened, go put on a Belle and Sebastian song or a Smith song and be happy that you're in love. Put on Neutral Milk Hotel and think you're the coolest person ever because you have a girlfriend. And then just, like, that's kind of like life, right? But then you're going to, people just hit entropy. And I don't even know what it is. It's like a thing from It from Bit, Unbounded, One Electron Universe, that a human being has a perfect existence. And this is like the scary part of life. They have a perfect existence, and then they just crack one day, and they're like, I hate my wife. You know, they're right. Like, they are a big Neil Young fan, and then one day they're like, fuck Neil Young, and they smash their record collection.
What do
you just see people do that? So that's the whole thing.
I was thinking a lot about this on like our trip and traveling and going to New York for the first time and having the total sensory overload of being in New York for the first time this yesterday. But what do you think about some of like, are you familiar with Colin Wilson and some of his like theories about consciousness and the peak experience and shifting consciousness through actual like methods and actions and experiences? Well,
I think Colin Wilson's existentialism is really focused on the individual. And that's kind of what I was talking about with Advaita Vedanta. And even like the first thing we're talking about, like if people actually live with dinosaurs. So it's like your own reality as one human. Like, I don't really know Colin Wilson's like biography and stuff like that. I just know his existentialism in regards to the individual person and their perception of life.
His big thing is consciousness. We talked about the peak experience of people. Most people are, they function at a dimmed consciousness. So they basically are just robots and they do it on autopilot.
Well, yeah. I mean, and then I feel like you have an activated consciousness. If you're like, what, like Bindi is buzzing and you're like,
oh yeah.
And Kathy, you're like, I could be living in Buck Rogers in the 25th century. Like, it's like, I live on the Jetsons. Like, I live in a reality where there's like floating cars. Like, other people live in a world where cars are still on wheels. And like, but the thing is, like, I know I'm a hipster for living in a world where I live in flying cars because the other people around me don't perceive that the car is flying. So like, I'm in a flying car. I'm in a car with no wheels, but the other people in the car with me, they're not, maybe some of them are, but others aren't activated enough to know that the car doesn't have wheels. So it's like you have to be kind enough to not be a jerk and be like, oh, well, this car has wheels for you and doesn't have wheels for me. Because when you get to that point of like seeing the DMT swirls and like seeing the angels and stuff, like you see it, other people might not actually see it. So that's how Colin Wilson, like if he's talking about like, I think he doesn't have a book called The Stranger.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Like that's like, I mean, I know there's the Camus Stranger, but it's like a different kind of thing with Colin Wilson where the thing is like, you're going to be the stranger. You're going to be the outsider. It's called The Outsider, not The Stranger. Sorry.
Oh, right.
But yeah, like you're going to
be that kind of like gets into that. The Outsider. Doesn't that kind of get into that theme of like aristocratic individualism?
Well, yeah. I mean, he has the whole like line of people that he goes over, like H.G. Wells and T.E. Lawrence and William Blake. And he does actually reference Camus. And he also talks about Sartre. But the thing is, like T.E. Lawrence, he said that the dreamers of the day, they are dangerous men because they dream with their eyes open to make their dreams real. And he was even Lawrence of Arabia. So it's like the idea that like that the dreamers of the day, according to Lawrence of Arabia, are the dangerous people. It's like they are, because everyone else is a TV zombie. Everyone else is just like kind of like fake from the screen. Like they're a clone of Ben Affleck. They're just the Baltimore Orioles. They're not actually Thor themselves. So it's like when you get to that point that Wilson's talking about in The Outsider, and you can actually kind of like be sort of like the main character in Nut Hampson's Hunger. It's like you're the being who's like actually destitute in a way. You're the guy who's actually kind of like, you're sort of like a kind of like Kurt Cobain, William Burroughs kind of dude. You're like Interzone. And you just have to keep that being cool. You have to keep that being hipster. Because like you actually chose to like live your life in a different kind of way. You chose to actually go to Dreamworld. You turned on Videodrome. You asked the questions that were weird. So like, because we do that, it's kind of like we open up a totally different version of existence, and you just sort of have to keep going, follow the yellow brick road.
Right.
Because like the Wizard of Oz, like Oz is the concept from Zoroastrianism.
Yeah.
So it's like keep following the yellow brick road, and it's actually a real thing. Like, right. You know, realize you're the Cowardly Lion, you're the Tin Man, like help Dorothy out.
My internet memes, I said, Safe Sleazy wants to be Graham from SPK. And then when I become Graham from SPK, I can actually do it. And then that's the thing that people are, they see the surface level like Nine Inch Nails.
Let's introduce the Safe Sleazy meme. That's pretty much gone viral.
Yeah.
If you Francis, do you want to introduce that?
Yeah, sure. Safe Sleazy is a picture of Curtis Connor, but I've deconstructed it, and now it's a universal image of a guy with a mustache and a mullet that lives in Bushwick with his Asian girlfriend Luna and his trans friend Harper. He has a gay frack friend named Ty, and he knows modular synthesis and loves Roberto Designer Pizza, and basically lives on Willoughby Street and near Mr. Kiwi, and he likes everything that Alex Goldstein's talking about.
Well, I mean, I see this person, and I guess if they're the thing hipster, that's cool. I mean, congrats, Francis, on like making it on Know Your Meme.
So yeah, the Safe Sleazy meme got over 1 million views on TikTok, and then it was cloned on Instagram. I started an Instagram. It got 36,000 followers on Insta, and I did a comedy event in Manhattan. It was canceled for copyright. I did a second account, got 4,000. Canceled again for infringement. I have another Insta channel, but Safe Sleazy seems to be very viral on TikTok, where it has 10K followers, and all over X, and, you know, YouTube and Telegram and all that. And it's one of those memes where it becomes projectual, where it's like, it's true, but you, like you saying, you know, it's a different plane of being. You don't tell the televised people about it. And Safe Sleazy is going in the Jetsons, and they're on, the other people are on the floor. But when you see the Jetsons, it's this kind of bureaucratic authority where, hey, maybe it's too weird that he's in modular synthesis and Juju. It's a little too much for everyone to know about, and that's why I have to keep it in at that level.
It's a parody of people who are inauthentic. They don't want to embrace their desires and be explicit about it as their identity. So I think you started out as like white men who like Asian women. They want to, it's like illiberal to make that part of their identity. They have to say like they're just colorblind.
I mean, it's kind of strange. It's like there's definitely a connotation that people are going to fall down like a pedophile wormhole, kind of like they're going to fall down a Nazi wormhole. There's a lot of warnings from like feminist women to like not read Ayn Rand, because then they're going to tell you you're going to read Mein Kampf next. And then it's sort of like the whole thing with like Asian chicks. It's like, that's the thing before. I'm not trying to be tribalist or racist or like there, but there's a dualist aspect, like you're saying, to life, where there's this kind of like God in your brain and then there's humanity. So it's like if someone's like fetishizing Asian women and not having having a relationship with someone is different than fetishizing someone. If you're actually fetishizing Asian women, like that's kind of like hash to get to pedophilia, and like you don't want to do that. I mean, I'm not someone who supports like people having sex with children. So as like Safe Sleazy, It's like you're sleazy.
Oh, say, who told you the story about how you came up with the term safe sleazy?
Oh, yeah, that was my friend, Sunghee. She told me, hey, man, I'm really into guys who are basically sleazy but safe. And then I watched a Shredded Nerd video. I was like, have you ever seen this guy? And then I just made it on TikTok and it got a million. So I didn't coin the term. It was a friend who coined the term. And then that just became the manifestation of the white sexuality held by the hip Asian girl projecting upon what she already been seeing. So that's kind of the irony to it, contrary to popular belief.
Oh, are you having Trenton Pizza?
Oh, Trenton Pizza? I haven't been to Trenton in years. I played a show down in Trenton.
We had Trenton Pizza today.
Oh, man. Trenton's like is the capital of New Jersey, but this kind of has this, like, mood to it.
No, we didn't go to Trenton. Like, we maybe drove near it. We had the pizza.
Okay, you weren't hanging out down there?
No.
Trenton kind of, they were talking about Harmony Curran before. Trenton reminds me of, like, Julian Donkey Boy, like Gummo and shit.
I love it.
You're going to get accosted by, like, street weirdos.
Mm-hmm. We went to what was the name of the nightclub we went to in Bushwick?
Mood Ring. Yeah, Mood Ring was really cool. Really nice Mood Ring. They played Milo, Drop the Pressure, and Basement Jack's Fly Life. And there was a gay black man. Yeah. And Robert got, like, touched.
Did they play Born Slippy by Underworld?
Underworld actually just played a month ago. And I was there, actually, on Thursday night at the King's Theater. That was the encore song. But no, I went there, but Robert Stark... We were there last night.
We went to another event down in, like, the, what's the area called? South Houston? Mm-hmm. Alphabet City?
Yeah. It was at a bar, and it was a reading event for your friends, Matt Pagus and others, for his new Ritual Press.
Down Baltic.
And they were having a reading.
And Adam was.
And they were just, you know, doing their reading, and it was really, really noisy. So some of the Safe Sleazy fans came up to see me, and I dressed it up as Raymond Watts from Pig. And pretty much was a sadist, and then I bounced out because we went to go see Viola He's event at Wonderville with her Strudel live coding thing, and that was a little AXA event, and you were dancing to that as well.
So you're like a culture worker.
Mm-hmm.
So like Safe Sleazy's like, is this like your version of like Cumtown or something like that? Like it's like the real thing?
Yeah, I mean it is.
I think people were like trying to like make Cumtown like be a thing, and they were like always really upset that it was like this show where these like dorky guys were talking about movies. I think people like saw the words Cumtown and they were like, isn't that a place to go like bang chicks or something?
Oh, so yeah,
if you're like making like it's kind of like what are those things called, speakeasy, like when you're saying to me safe sleazy, it almost seems like it's a play on that's safe. I'm trying to think of it. Speakeasy could be a play on safe sleazy. So it's like a safer version of Cumtown. Like Cumtown could be like this scary, evil thing.
Because people are bored by their mundane lives and they seek out something that's dangerous, that creates like a simulation of danger, but that's still safe and there's not going to be actual harm to them.
Yeah, I don't think anybody wants to have to deal with like the evil of Stavros Halikaz and like the annoying nature of Will Menaker and Matt Crispin and those guys. It's like they're like PC dorks. I mean, I don't want them to be like villains in life, but it's like just kind of creepy that like these guys centered themselves around this like Cumtown sex culture.
Like the guys with the Zoomer guys of the mullets. And the like 70s porn mustaches.
Well, I mean, I think Dick Mullen like wanted to seem like that for a little bit and think that he was like the coolest person ever, but he's just a stand-up comedian. And like, I think girls were always obsessed with like rebelling against Cumtown and like doing their own like sorority house version of that. Cause I think that it hated Adam Friedland, and they hated Will Menaker, and they hated Stavros Halikaz, and they hated Nick Mullen, because I think they thought that they were actually guys who just hated women. And it's like, if there's like a thing called safe sleazy, that's like where people can actually meet people in a cool, safe way, and like isn't those guys like being these like women-hating douchebags, like women are not into guys being dicks to them. like Stavros Halikas, he just comes across like he's disabled. He doesn't come across like a PUA. Like, I'd love to throw Rouge V at Cometown or Chateau Hartiste at Cometown. Like, if William Menaker met Matt Crispin, he'd shit his pants and not William, if William Menaker met Richard Spencer, he'd shit his pants. If Matt Crispin met James O'Jamiera, he'd actually give out a death fart. Like, those guys are retards. And I'm like, I'm glad. I mean, like, whatever's happening right now with, like, Human Will, Divine Will, I think I just have to bash that thing, the dirt bag left. Because, mm-hmm. like, we were doing the alt left in 2016.
That's all right.
Because mm-hmm. we're smarter than them.
We were talking about this idea. I guess the term sounds cringe. Of like the base Whipple or, like, the anti-liberal hipster. Ages ago, and then sort of like Dime Square takes the concept and they sort of manufacture it.
Yeah, for like what? They're like people that like want to go out to dinner with Greg Johnson, and Greg Johnson like would never want to talk to them because they're misogynated. And it's like they don't get like who they are, and that like the Countercurrents isn't hipster, it's actually white nationalist. So like these moron Qualia bros that are trying to like who are BuzzFeed contributors and are trying to take Pepe and Pedo Bear and somehow make that be this like cool hipster thing that's like fun. It just becomes a kind of like neo men's rights culture that's led by crybaby fat hipsters. So a safe, sleazy kind of like anti-Cometown, that's like an Adonis rebellion against Cometown. It's like the smartest thing ever to do and actually the coolest thing ever. And the fact that it's real in the meme world, it's like, that's actually like God tier Adonis like attack.
Well, so like Greg Johnson's real in the safe, sleazy universe. He's Dr. Greg Smith and he teaches at NYU and has a blog on Marshall Industrial. And that's in the and that video got 800,000 views.
Oh, you made that? I didn't know that.
Yeah,
and I just made my own safe sleazy video today about playing a professor.
Right.
Yeah.
So Greg Smith, NYU.
So there's in the safe sleazy universe, there's a character called Greg Smith, and he has a white nationalist blog and tells everyone that they should listen to Pavement because it's white nationalist, but really safe.
And, but it's my character today.
You're the. The office, the professor from San Diego State, talk about oral sex.
I mean, the lyrics, a lot of lyrics in Crooked Rain seem like that. Crooked Rain by Pavement seem like they're kind of like latent white nationalist memes.
What about Death in June?
Death in June is like explicitly white nationalist. But the weird thing about Death in June is that Douglas P., I think he's sort of vague about what the band actually is. Because I know they started out in crisis and they were actually anti-fascists.
Do you remember when we met? Did we interview Jim Goad?
Yeah, we did interview Jim Goad.
We went to a special place that's relevant to Jim Goad in Norristown, Pennsylvania. Is that story from the Biz Book Shit Magnet?
I think it might be Shit Magnet or Answer Me, where he gets a blowjob by a black guy under the Norristown Transportation Center.
And we went to that Norristown Transportation Center. We walked under that same tunnel.
Yeah, we took a picture of where Ooh. He got it. Yeah.
That's pretty sleazy. Are you trying to do this thing safe sleazy where you're trying to like...
Yeah.
Try to just go over every like, safe and sleazy thing that has ever happened?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a strip club by my house called Shakers. And it's like been abandoned for years, so we should actually take it over. I was thinking that we could call it Hipsters instead of Shakers, and just like every hipster chick is also a stripper. So it's like they're gonna all just want to like jump up in there in a bond panties or bikini, thong bikini, and just like look and dance to like Nelly and like I don't know, Bow Wow.
Yeah.
Lil Nas,
yeah,
Lil Uzi Vert,
yeah,
and Saweetie, Cardi B, and Megan Thee Stallion. So that's kind of like the thing with life. It's like one level of it's all like conservative and like Jesus and like the fleur de luz and stuff like that, and the crown and country. But then at what point?
Yeah, I wrote an article, like a research article about oral sex. Why do you think there's any validity to the argument that there's higher rates of oral sex among the upper class, or that's a delay mechanism before intercourse?
I think that we were saying that with Paul Bingham years ago, that it's like the sort of like Anglo-Saxon tradition of like hierarchy to like basically like establish matriarchy or patriarchy based on those things. And it's like at the point where like Iggy Azalea is like the Queen of England, because she's like her presence is like huge on the planet because of like what sexuality is. Like the King of England can be like the guy who's like most in control of his sexuality. So like whatever that thing is with like being a switch hitter and establishing like the upper class, it's like the beings like Iggy Azalea.
Oh yeah,
that's the entity who's like actually able to like do that thing, like be the kind of like inductor of life. Like, is Iggy Azalea like the Bride of Frankenstein, or is she like Dr. Frankenstein? She's kind of like both of these things, or it's like being like Prometheus. And being like, well, Prometheus, he actually makes people. So, but then but the other thing is he steals fire from the gods. So like, if he's the Titan that we admire, it's like, you can see like the artist, like Iggy Azalea, like David Bowie, they're like the Titan who's like the real creator of humans, because they create humans from sexuality. So that's like the ultimate kind of like assessment of like why like Justin Bieber's popular.
What do you think about the like whole meta physical components of sexuality, how it relates to spirituality? Do you see it as reaching a higher? My theory is that it's sort of a middle plane where like the lowest plane is the mundane, and sexuality reaches a higher metaphysical plane for the mundane, but at the same time, can prevent one from reaching the highest divine level. So in that sense, it's a middling plane between the mundane and the higher divine emanations. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, the thing in Judaism, like Kabbalistic Judaism, where man is seen as the being Adam Hadman Harishon, his genital area is called Yesod. And I think it's called Bohumana in the Vedic tradition. And like when you go on Sephiroth and you see that spot there that's meant to be the genitals, it's like that's actually like a power source. So you have the different chakras. You have the chakra in your heart. You have the chakra in your head, your throat chakra. And one of the chakras.
What's the significance of mixing the mouth chakra and the genital chakra like via oral sex?
Well, I mean, the weirdest thing ever is like that. Isn't like the 69 symbol like part of the zodiac?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Thank you for tuning in. You can follow Robert Stark on his Substack at robertstark.substack or on his website at starktruthradio.com. See you next time.